Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Sensei and the Geek podcast. Coming at you from Sydney, Australia, I am Jay Friendly.
And from Fuji City, it's Rob Beck here.
All right, and now we are in different locations. It's been a while since we had a podcast, eh?
Yeah, it's been a minute. Yeah, it's good. How you been?
Pretty darn good, I gotta say. I believe the last time we did a cast, I was just leaving for Canada, and I went there. And yep. Then I came back to Japan. Yep. And then I moved to Australia last summer. And I've been in Sydney ever since.
Yeah. And it's summertime down there now. So you must be loving it.
Well, you know, I am loving it. And I didn't actually research anything whatsoever about Sydney before moving here. Other than where my work was going to be and where I was going to stay the first month. So when I got here, I might look a little foolish for saying this, but I was pleasantly surprised to find out that they have some beautiful beaches here. I'm talking tropical style beaches, and I had no clue because I didn't look it up before I came here. But there's people surfing all over the place. There's white sand beaches, there's isolated beaches, there's crowded beaches, there's beachfront bars and burgers and babes and boobs and
how many nudist beaches have you been to so far?
I have not been to any, seeing as, you know, I'm not actually of the gay persuasion. And gay or nudist beaches generally are a lot more gay guys than not. And hey, it's all good. You know, I have no problem with that whatsoever. It's just not something that I need to go do.
Yeah, I want to go. I'm gonna go wreck Beach. That's it for me, yeah.
Wreck Beach. That's the one in Vancouver there, eh?
I think so.
I heard actually Wreck Beach, they've started like people are complaining that too many people with clothing are going there to like look at all the naked people.
Oh no.
Yeah,
the horror.
Cause like if you're
so many clothed people.
Well, if you're Googling. Yeah, right. All backwards.
Yeah.
So well,
that's all right though. So
but the beaches here are great and I'm loving the weather. It's there's some hot days. It's like 40 plus degrees, but you know, coming from Kamloops back in Canada there where it's hot and dry, it's not as hot as here, and it's more humid here than Kamloops, but still fairly dry. But I grew up with that, and then spending so many years in humid hot Japan, the summer here, the weather, I mean, even when people are saying it's hot, I'm loving it.
Yeah.
It feels great to me. No problems whatsoever.
Well, I don't know if you heard, but Tokyo just had its coldest day in over 40 years. The coldest day recorded.
40 years.
40. 4-0. Coldest day in over 40 years. Crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what it was? Minus four degrees. and literally,
really?
The city shut down. They closed the highways. There was snow. The train stopped. I mean, yeah, it was pandemonium in Tokyo, man. So yeah, I just called
my mom.
I just called my mom tonight. I'm like, "How's the weather right now?" She's like, "Yeah, it's minus 27, minus 40 with the wind chill." I'm like, "Yeah, okay." Glad I don't live in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, well, our buddy Devrin there, he's on a business trip in Edmonton right now, actually. And, you know, Devrin, who's been on the podcast, and he was telling me it was some ridiculous temperature yesterday. I think minus 16, he said, or something like that. And, yeah, that's cold. You know, I love Canada, and it's so beautiful, but I do not miss the cold. That's for sure.
Someone asked me, like, do you miss the snow? I was like, I like snow. Snow is cool.
Yeah, I like snow,
I don't miss
but
everything
I don't
that
miss
goes
it.
Along with snow. I don't miss shoveling,
exactly, like
scraping windshields, and I definitely don't miss that.
Missed flights and sloppy wet shoes and cold toes. Well,
slipping down driveways and falling on your your butt.
Yeah, that kind of sucks when you're, like, dealing with it as a daily thing. It's kind of fun when you, like, just go into it, right? It's like, oh, it's all slippery and slidey. So,
For sure.
But yeah, people are posting pictures of the great fire, or not fire, the great snowstorm of Tokyo 2018 all over Facebook.
You saw some, eh?
It actually looked really pretty, honestly. It was pretty cool. But that all said, I don't miss it. Yeah. I like the warmth. So
yeah, people waiting for taxis for like 3.5 hours for a taxi or something like that. Pretty nuts, but.
Oh, Oh my goodness. Well, I've been on the longest streak of good weather I've ever had in my entire life with this move, just timing wise, because, you know, I went through spring in Japan last year, and then it was, and then I went to Canada for a bit of summer, and then I went back to Japan for a bit of summer, and then I came here for winter. But winter here is like spring in Japan. Spring, you know, it's not cold. It's like long sleeve shirt. Some days maybe you want a pullover. Some days you don't. You know, it depends. So that was pretty nice. And then it turned into spring, and now it's like middle of summer. And
nice.
And loving the weather. It's
and
nice.
You just had Australia Day too, didn't you?
We did just this past Friday.
How was that? I actually congratulations!
Didn't do anything for it. Thanks, Mom. My first Australia Day in Australia. I just, to be honest, because it was a holiday, I've been working a lot. I've never actually worked a job for someone else where I've worked this much in my life. Because I work 8.5 hour days with an hour lunch, and the longest I had before was in Japan, where it was 8 hour days. So I've been working lots, you know, and because I am also living like a single man at the moment, insofar as that my family won't be here until next month.
Yeah, that's right.
I gotta take care of everything, and the thing about having been married for as long as I have, I grew accustomed to living very clean and tidy, and it turns out that takes a lot of work to maintain.
I just figured it out. Oh man!
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I've seen you've been eating a lot of soup lately, eh?
I have been eating a lot of soup. You've seen my Facebook. I see.
I think we need to get some.
I've been on a soup kick.
I think we need some Sensei and the Geek soup Instagram posts. I think you need to get those out there. Let the people know the soup you're getting, because you're making some pretty crazy soup. You had that crazy Thai spicy soup. You had some African soup. You had some. What else did you have? You had quite the run there.
It's impressive. I had a green minestrone I made last week. I made a fennel. Oh no, maybe that was the green minestrone one. What else did I make? I made a whole bunch, but I've been cooking a few other things. I made a lasagna on my Christmas holiday, and then you were actually kind of ribbing me a bit for too many soups last night. So today I made a spicy Thai noodle salad.
I was only ribbing you because you're like, hey, you see my soup? I was like, everybody's seeing your soup. And I don't even like soup. So, it's not a soup guy. I'm just not a soup
How
guy.
How dare you?
I was like, okay, enough with the soup already. No, I thought it was, I think it's great though. I'm envious because I'm couldn't cook some soup, man.
Well, I've been enjoying it. You know, it's I always liked cooking. Even when I was a little kid, I used to always make breakfasts. Like, I'd get up early in the morning in my robe, and I'd make pancakes and French toast and breakfast stuff, because we always had that. We always had flour and sugar and eggs and milk, so I was able to make it. But sure. I never got into cooking, like, dinner or anything, because, like, I just never had the opportunity. My mom would cook stuff like that, but she'd buy the stuff for the recipe she wanted to cook. And so there wasn't just like stuff sitting around necessarily to be cooked, right? I also just didn't know what to cook. And so then in school, I took cooking every year. I took cooking at like in grade 8, 9, and 10, and then for 11 and 12, or year 11 and 12, as they call it in this year, Australia. I took cafeteria class, which was kind of cool because we learned like theory of cooking as well as like how to run a business, like a food-based business, as well as how to like serve the cafeteria. And that was pretty cool. But then I, you know, finished school and I was in university, et cetera, and I didn't really have the money to buy or the internet wasn't that big either to like get recipes and stuff from. So I didn't really have the means to be a cook. Well, I did. I mean, I just didn't.
Well, we had a full-on kitchen when we were living together. Just didn't have it. But it was.
Yeah, we did. But
and,
I mean,
but we did manage to invite like someone over. No, we had someone come over and cook turkey for us. So.
yeah. Someone cooked it for us. Exactly. The kitchen did get used that one time.
Wasn't that when the mouse ran in the house?
And my cat grabbed it. Everyone freaked out.
No. Yeah. First Thanksgiving.
So then in Japan, I cooked a few times as well, but it's the ingredients for Western food that I like to kind of cook end up being really expensive when you buy it all. And it'd be like $30 anytime I wanted to cook a meal. So yeah, finally, sure. I'm living here now, and I have the money to be able to buy the ingredients I want, and I have the availability of the ingredients, and I got a lot of time on my hands, and an internet with a lot of recipes on it, and I've been really getting into cooking. Feels good.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I'm eating healthy. Like, when I go to the grocery store, I basically just shop around the edges. You know, they got all the fresh stuff on, like, generally all the processed stuff's in the middle, and so, like, I'm just like around the vegetables and the meats and the ice creams. So that's my guilty pleasure is the ice cream.
That's good. And happy birthday to you, by the way.
Thanks. I had my first one here. Another click of the clock.
Yep.
But
another trip around.
That's all good. Another trip around.
A lot of people you're going to be getting some birthday wishes here pretty quick, though, eh? Another couple weeks.
Well, yes. For a bit of reference for people wondering what the heck Rob was talking about, I am one who has put a fake birthday on my profile on everything. Because I build the internet, I'm a little sketchy about actually putting my own personal details on it. So I never put my real birthday into anything unless I absolutely have to, like, you know, some bank service or something like that checks it. So I always use 1 day and 1 month after my birthday. Well, 1 year actually, I just gave away my secret, but that ends up that even though my birthday was last month, it means that next month I am gonna get a bunch of birthday wishes, except that I think I finally turned them off this year. I'm not actually gonna get it because I feel like deceitful when people start wishing me happy birthday a month after it happened.
I think last year you're just like, thanks. Appreciate it. Don't even bother explaining anymore. Yeah. So yeah. Well, it's all good.
Well, the intent is there, right? So I appreciate the intent from people. You know, it's my fault that the timing's off. It's not theirs.
Mine was last.
But yeah, this year it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, mine was last week, I guess. So it was good. Got to go out with Kirby. We actually went to Bar Pledge. And
nice, Masai. Shout out to Masai.
Yeah, so we ended up having, he treated me to, we just drank some really nice liquor, man. Great scotch, and yeah, it was really, really good. And I don't ever buy that kind of stuff for myself usually. I'll just drink, you know, whatever the cheap stuff is. But, you know, when people who know what they're drinking, makes a difference. Yeah, it's really nice. And then we ended up standing outside the gym until 6:30 in the morning talking about motivational speakers.
Nice.
As you do.
So who's your one shout out, who's the best motivational speaker in your eyes?
In my heart right now?
Yeah.
Oh, it's got to be Kirby, man.
Well, that wasn't the answer I expected, but that's a pretty good one. Kirby's a pretty inspirational dude, so I will go with that.
Well, I mean, like,
check out our podcast with Kirby if you haven't already.
I mean, I don't really, I'm not into motivational speakers, and I know there's a lot of bad stuff that went on, people that are like shysters and shylocks, and I know that they do a lot of good for a lot of people, but I think some people kind of need motivational speakers, and some people get that feeling when you hear something like that's just kind of a generic, like, hey, you can do it. And I don't like that personally for myself, right? Like, it's just like, ugh,
yeah,
I don't need any of that kind of stuff. But Kirby, because he's a buddy,
it's not for everyone.
He's a buddy, so it's like, it's tailored. Like, yo, Rob, yeah, you did great. It's good to see you, man. You know, oh, he can pump me up, right? So,
yeah.
But yeah, for me, like a Tony Robbins or there is that one guy that he's a business guy. I'm trying to remember what his name is. I like him a lot. He's just all about the business.
Was he on the Joe Rogan podcast?
Is that the guy you're talking about? No, I don't know if he was or not. Okay. Unless it was years ago. But he's got his own podcast and stuff. So, but yeah, what's your take? You got a favorite one?
Yeah, I'm not a big motivational speaker guy either, like, to listen to. Like, to be honest, I don't even really listen to spoken stuff in general. I listen to music or I listen to the Joe Rogan podcast. That's about the only podcast I really listen to, though.
So how do you get motivated then? It's crazy.
I guess I'm self-motivating.
Self-motivated. I mean, there you go.
Well, I don't know. I mean, life is a motivator. I know what motivates me. Not starving and being homeless. So whenever I'm not feeling motivated, I think, oh, wait, I have food and I have a home. That motivates me because I want to keep that. I want to maintain that level, yeah. That base level.
So, I guess if you're already a motivated person, then I guess maybe that's where I was a little bit maybe too harsh on him, saying, you know what? Because I do get it. I do agree that it has a lot of benefit for a lot of people, and it can inspire, and it can get you turned on. It can get you ready to rock and roll. Get you started in your day or week, give you goals, things to accomplish. You know, there's a lot of good that comes out of it, without a doubt, for sure. And I would rather have someone like motivationally speaking rather than preaching to me, you know what I mean? So I definitely appreciate that. I guess, maybe if you're already a pretty motivated person, then it's kind of maybe redundant. I don't know. Maybe it's just, I'm not sure.
I don't think it's redundant. I think it's just unnecessary for such a person, which is like me and obviously you as well, because we're not into motivational speakers and we keep ourselves motivated. So now I don't think there's anything wrong with, like, you know, really getting hyped up by a motivational speaker, though. I mean, that's cool. It's cool that, you know, especially to have that means if that's what you need. Like, if you really need a way to psych yourself up. For me, I just rather listen to like a song I really like. You know, if I'm feeling like unmotivated, I put on like one of my favorite albums and it gets me moving, and maybe stand up and do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. When you ask me like who's my favorite, it's like it's Kirby. It's not what he. It's like being around him. Like his energy is infectious, right? So, you know, being around people like that, people that are like, yeah, totally infectious. That definitely gets me going. People get me going, I guess. Yeah, not just necessarily like words of advice or whatever, but yeah, people that are excited get me excited, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, it does. It's infectious, right? It brings up the mood of the overall mood of the room.
But speaking of existential nihilism,
okay, were we?
Well, that's my transition. Have you you and I are big fans of Rick and Morty, right?
That is the truth. I love me some Rick and Morty.
So I don't know if you've got to check it out yet, but have you heard of BoJack Horseman?
I actually have seen like two or three episodes with Ernest, who was on the podcast. Check out that podcast if you haven't.
And, we're gonna plug every friend that's ever been our. We won't be able to talk about anything anymore. Be like, and check it out. But yeah, so
we haven't been around for a while. I just want to remind people what we got out there to listen to. Ernie Izumi. I hope we used his last name on the podcast because I just used it now. But Ernie Izumi, who was on the podcast,
he's got great taste.
When I was at his place. Yeah, he does have some good taste in shows for sure. Ern's a good guy. So when I was at his place last year, right before I left Japan, we watched a couple episodes. And it was interesting because there's a guy with a horse head who I believe is Bojack. What's his name? Bojack what?
Bojack Horseman, I think. Yeah.
Bojack Horseman.
Yeah,
so
Will Arnett.
He's a horse. And they never actually like addressed that. He's just a horse, and other people are other animals.
Yeah, like, it's a world where animals coexist with humans. Yeah,
yeah, it's a different show. Definitely, it's interesting. I've been watching a lot, like, well, not a lot of TV, but a good bit of TV here because it's interesting to be back in the world of English TV. Like, you know, they're always playing like Seinfeld and like old stuff too, like Hogan's Heroes, but also newer stuff like Everybody Loves Raymond, which is now 20 years old pretty much, but like and they got Happy stuff. Days and stuff. I mean, like, stuff that I wouldn't watch normally. Like, I would never like go out of my way to watch it or even pick it off like Netflix or something, but when I'm like cooking or whatever, to have it playing in the background is kind of cool. But they also play a lot of old movies. So like at Christmas, they had like Die Hard 1 through 4.
Did you have a Rocky Fest as well? Or Rocky? You're like, yeah, Rocky 1.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Rocky 3.
They did 1 through 6 or whatever. Like, they played them every night for like all week. And it's like, this week, Rocky something, something, something. I can't remember exactly the wording they used. But yeah, it's like, and so they're always playing old movies. Like, I watched... I've seen a few, and it's just kind of, I hope I get sick of it. I hope I haven't turned into like a TV junkie.
Oh no!
But for the time,
well, if you're stuck on like being, syndication and stuff like that's when you get stuck. When you're stuck watching Who's the Boss for 9 hours.
I'm watching it for 9 hours, but I'm not gonna lie, I watched an episode.
Of Who's the Boss? Be back in a moment. Stick around. I used to say that all the time.
Nice, Tony Danza.
Oh yeah, love me some Tony Danza. It's,
but the other thing I watch every morning, I watch the ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. I'm going to guess that's probably what it means. The ABC Morning Breakfast Show with Guy and Girl, whose names I can't remember.
With Guy and Girl?
Michael and Victoria. I do know their names. Uh-oh. But it's weird watching the news in, like, Aussie. It's not something I ever did before I came here, right?
Yeah.
Like, I use it. It's my Aussie practice every morning. I practice trying to speak like they do so that I can fake the accent at some point in my life.
Well, that's a good idea, though. How's it coming along?
I live in the country. It's. I can. I don't know. I can, like, I don't do it in front of anyone. I'm going to start off with that. Yeah. I only do it in front of me. And I can get a couple sentences in, or like a sentence in, but then I hit something like, I don't know, wait, do they even use that word? And like, I don't think I got the right inflection on that, but I can't picture exactly how it is in my mind or whatever.
Right.
So it's like, it impresses me when you see like actors who do an American accent that aren't American, like they have like normally a really strong British accent or something. It's like, damn, you guys are pretty good at that. So because I can't do it yet. That's for sure.
Yeah,
but
no, it's impressive.
Another issue I've been running into is I'm working with a bunch of other people who aren't of Australian descent. There's actually a fair number of foreigners in my company.
Oh, really?
And, you know, a couple, yeah, we got a like a Chinese girl and a couple of Brazilians, Portuguese speakers and stuff like that. So it's cool because we always have like something to talk about. You know, I've learned another language as well, so it's something we can relate about, right? Mm-hmm. And but the problem is sometimes I want to teach them a word, but I'm like, well, this is what I say. I have no idea about the people around here, but this is how I would say that or whatever. So, because I can't count on anything being the same, you know what I mean? Like,
right. They can be like, so, how do you say this in English? You'll be like, well, in my English, I would say this, but it could be something else, you mean? Is that what you're getting at?
That's exactly it. Like, they often, just a simple example would be like, when I'm like, supposing something, I'll say, I figure it's this. And they say, I reckon it's this. Okay. Now I know the whole I reckon thing because they say it a lot. Not when I picked up. But if I didn't know the reckon thing, you know, I might be teaching them. I'd be like, well, you know, when you want to say like you're supposing something, you say, I figure. I mean, I wouldn't use those words, but let's just go with that. Mm-hmm. I figure blah, 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 blah. But then after, like pretty much every time I teach something, I like get it like a moment of self-doubt. And it's like, well, at least that's what I say.
I don't have confidence in my own language.
not the language they speak down here. But
have you had any miscommunication or anything? Like something that you've really like, that didn't work out that you thought you're like, oh, okay, I can handle this. And then you're like, oh, I guess I misjudged that completely.
Well, not like that, but there's been a couple things. So like my bank is ANZ. And not ANZ and Z. Now in Canada we say Z, but we also, I don't know, I grew up using both.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We say both, but in Japan it kind of just switched to Z because it's like, you know, internationalized. And so I never use Z in Japan. And so I come here and I'm saying ANZ about my bank and I got corrected really quickly a few times. ANZ. It's like, okay. Sure. So, that one's, and then the other one is actually kind of funny. So being a tech guy, as I am, we have an office and the director in it, like the tech director. So it's up to me to do all the you know, hardware and software stuff, or like to know it. Well, I say it wrong, and I think it's even wrong for Canada, but it's in Japanese, the thing that routes your internet connection in is called a router, or router, right. And it's spelled R-O-U-T-E-R, and R-O-U-T-E is a root, so to me, that's a router. But I said that a few years back in front of our friend Ryan, who, shout out to Ryan, but he hasn't been on the podcast yet. I said it to him, and he's like, dude, it's a router. And I was like, really? So, well, now that's fine in Canada. Here, a router is an entirely different meaning. To root means to fornicate.
Jeez. So you're going on about so what a great router you have.
One who's a fornicator.
I've been having troubles with this router.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Then turn around.
Oh. That's good, though. But everything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Like,
other than that, you're not making, you know, you're having people helping you out with the language, I'm sure, right? Like, other than your morning,
yeah,
your morning
well, I mean,
news
it's,
show, right?
It's not like I can't communicate. I mean, it's actually a lot of fun because it gives us always something to talk about. And I love, the Aussies have the funnest English, I think. Like they like the Japanese. They like to shorten everything. You know, Japan love to shorten stuff. Well, here, like, for example, I was driving along with my coworker one day. And we were going to another city for, we were going to our client's offices. And we had to get some gas, or as they call it, petrol. Mm-hmm. And she's like, she says, I just need to pull over at the servo.
At the WEC?
I was like, well, yeah, that's what I said.
No, seriously, where?
Yeah, no, seriously, that's what I said. And so she said, at the servo, which, you know, is the service station. The gasoline station. Yeah, the servo. And like, I love it because once you know where it comes from.
Makes sense.
Of course, it makes sense, right? Yeah, so it's always fun, like. Like, take a guess what this one is, now that I've just taught you that. The Bottle-O.
The Bobble-O. The Bobble-O.
Bottle-O. No, Bottle-O.
Oh, Bottle-O. Oh, Bottle-O. Oh, Bottle-O, the liquor store.
That is correct. So it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah, welfare sound effects.
Hey, we gotta make do. Gotta make do. Oh, I'm really chuffed that I got that right. Did they use that?
You
still?
Got
no.
It right. I think that's a British one. I don't hear that one here. I think that's British.
Damn it! All right, I'm still chuffed.
Yeah, I still even now, so I'm getting like pretty like good at identifying the Aussie accent, but I occasionally meet a British person here and I don't realize they're British until they tell me. And then once they say it, I'm like, oh yeah, your accent's really quite different. Like, but as a North American, and that's something else I want to say, but as a North American, you know, they have similarities enough to sound similar to me.
Right.
But I want to be clear, as a North American, because what I've realized is everyone's like, oh yeah, you speak with an American accent. It's like, no. I speak with an accent, a Canadian accent. We share much of the same accent with the Americans. They share it with us. It's not an American accent. It's our accent that we share together. So... that's my that's one thing I definitely, I don't care if people think I'm American. It happens all the time. If I ran into me, I'd think I was American too.
It's another thing too, where is I know that us on the West Coast don't speak the same as people in Manitoba and Ontario, and that don't speak the same as in Newfoundland, right? So there is some difference as far as it goes across, but we picked up a lot of our accent because
Newfoundland is different.
Yeah, but we had mainstream American TV as well, and so there was a lot probably, you know, growing up with that kind of stuff too. So, but yeah, just to get put into like American accent, I can see why you're trying to be like, it's a North American accent. But in that case, you got to put Mexicans in there too, right? So.
Well, that's the problem with that term. You know, I kind of tried saying that a couple times, but then it's like, well, no, Mexico, that's not a Mexican accent. That's not fair to them. So it's like, you know what it is? It's Northern North American. Because it's not even, I mean, you go in the south of the states and it's different as well, even, right? So,
true. Yeah, it's not.
So it's really, it's the Northern North American accent.
They should call it, they call it a Southern accent. So we just call it a Northern accent. It's the Northern accent.
Northern. But then people might start thinking Yankee, and we're back right to the start.
Oh, man. I mean, I guess it could be worse things than to be associated with America just at this, well, maybe not right now. But, yeah. At this point, you're really looking to differentiate yourself from America, maybe. Like, yes, no, I am Canadian, maybe.
Well, no, to be honest, I actually don't care about that. I don't mind if people think I'm American. Because most people like Americans. I like Americans. I mean, you know,
I
do have some issues with how things are going to some degree within their country. But whatever, that's not for this podcast, in which we have decided not to be political. You know, but most people like Americans.
But I mean, I agree that it should be decriminalized and legal. But that's just me. But anyways, we don't have to go there. You know, I get what you're saying. So, yeah, there are some problems. There are some problems.
Yeah.
See how I pulled that out of there?
So, yeah.
Pulled back on the stick.
Good job.
Thanks, man.
Good job, mate.
Thanks, man.
So, yeah, so I don't really mind that. And then, you know, but it does happen all the time. Like, oh, you've been talking to someone for a while and they'll say something about, you know, America. It's like, I'm Canadian. Oh, okay. But then people invariably ask about Canada, of which I know nothing, not having lived there this millennium.
Yeah. So,
well, I mean, I did 6 months of it. I was there, or 7 months. But, you know, yeah, I don't know a lot about Canada these days, but I do know a lot about Japan. So that always brings up a lot of conversation. And it's interesting because people do, to some degree, associate me more with Japan, I think, than Canada. Like, I don't know how to explain that, but like when stuff comes up or just like references sometimes people make to me, it does seem like people associate me. I mean, I obviously talk about it a lot. It's
that's part of your
family. Not as much as I did when I first got here, but
yeah.
Yeah. It's
can I ask you, are you going to come to the Olympics in 2020? Are you going to come back and come check them out or no?
Darned rights I am. Well, that's my intention at least.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I missed the Sydney Olympics. Not that I knew I was ever going to live in Sydney at that time in my life, but now that I'm here, I know that I missed them.
Well, I mean, I just ask you because I know you're not Olympics. A big sports guy per se, but is that something that you're like, yeah?
I like the Olympics, though.
Okay.
I've never been a big sports guy, but I've always liked the Olympics. Even when I was a kid, I've always really enjoyed watching them. Like, I missed it a little bit in Japan because I didn't like watching the Olympics in Japanese that much.
The coverage, because they only cover the Japanese athletes too, right?
So. Well, I'm even okay with that. It's more the style of coverage, and it suits them. It's made for what they're used to, right? So I know they like it. But I grew up with Western commentary, which is a different style, and that just interests me more. I wouldn't say that the Japanese one didn't, because I would always watch like some of the Olympics when it's on. But when I was younger, I definitely watched a lot more, and I'm looking forward to going to the Tokyo ones because, you know, it's
I'm hoping to get in for free
since I can.
That's what I'm looking for, free tickets.
Yeah, are you gonna volunteer?
Well, no, but my daughter is gonna be just about the right age, and they says they were looking at first. They were looking for about 30,000 volunteers. I don't know, or 90,000. They were thinking, but now they're looking for over 110,000 volunteers that they're gonna want for the Olympics.
What?
That's what they're asking for, 110,000 volunteers needed for Tokyo 2020 Olympics, and that includes the Paralympics as well. So,
oh my goodness.
That's a lot of volunteers. I mean, I don't know if you remember when we had the Canada Games. Remember when we had the Canada Games in Kamloops?
I do remember the Canada Games. I remember making a big thing. I remember
in 1985 we were asking for it, and I think it came in 92, I can't remember now. But,
Well, I'm going to tell you you're wrong on both those dates because we pitched for it in 89 and it was in 93, the Canada
that's
Games.
That's what it was, yes, because I was still in elementary school and we went out on the field and made a big sign or something like that.
And we did it at my school as well because the committee drove through town.
Yeah.
I didn't volunteer. I went and watched the baton thing. Like, what did they do, the baton thing? I can't remember. Maybe that was Olympics. Just
with the relay?
I don't remember, but... Uh-huh. I think I'm actually mixing up my events because we had the Olympics in Calgary that year too, and the Olympics or the year before it was in '88, and the torch came through as they were going to the Winter Olympics there.
Yeah, I remember that.
Speaking of which, get
my torch lit.
I think the Winter Olympics. Don't the next Winter Olympics start like really soon in Korea? There.
Yep, they're starting up pretty quick. So they announced the men's ice hockey team, the Canadian men. They're not allowed to have professional athletes anymore, so it should be interesting.
Really? So this Olympics, there's not professional athletes?
Like, if you're on a professional NHL team, I think is what it is, you can't qualify for the ice hockey this year.
Huh.
I think they're trying to stop. I think Canada's won the last three in a row, so I think they're just trying to, yeah, even the playing field a bit. But it doesn't matter. We're going to win anyway. Yep.
Nice.
No, it was crazy, though, that the fact that North Korea decided to try and they actually formed a hockey team with South Korea that they're going to enter as a dual team in the hockey. Yes.
And do they have a chance? Do they play hockey in North Korea?
Hey, you always got to give peace a chance, man. Hey!
I was singing that.
Sorry,
I was singing that song last week when I made my green minestrone soup, and I put in the frozen peas, and I was like, "All we are saying is give peas a chance."
Is that what you did?
I seriously was singing that to myself.
Oh, that's classic. That's classic.
Yeah, they were actually they were pretty good in the soup, to be honest. I'm glad I gave them the chance.
So, but yeah, so they're working really hard on the Olympics. I don't know if you also heard this in the news. It was in there today that the Japan is working to convert all the squat toilets to Western style. You know
really?
What?
Really? Like in the whole country?
Yeah. You know what a squat toilet is, right? Some people might not know what that is.
But you can enlighten our viewers
okay.
or our listeners.
A traditional squat toilet is, it's an elongated... how would you explain it? It's an elongated basin in the floor that has a little bit of water in it. You are supposed to go in there and squat over it to do your business. There's nowhere to actually sit. It relies solely on balance. It's one of the things that foreigners are always well aware of when they come here, or they're soon well aware of once they get here. And it's it causes a lot of problems, so, you know, especially if you're for bigger people maybe, or if you're not used to it, if you got bad knees, or you know, it's not the best way to use the facilities.
Well, that you sir there are incorrect. It actually is the best way, like for your body posture.
For your
that
body
said,
posture,
it's not the most comfortable way.
Yes, and if you don't have any experience with it, it can be difficult. So,
well, you know, going back to your comment there about tourists being aware of it, I wasn't, because much the same as when I moved to Australia and didn't even research a single thing about Sydney, when I moved to Japan, I also didn't research a single thing about Japan.
Right.
So I get off the airplane in Tokyo. I wasn't even at my final. It wasn't even at my final destination. I was transferring in Tokyo to fly to Nagoya. And I'm in Tokyo, and I go to use the bathroom and open up the stall door, and there's a squatlet. And I was like...
Is that what you call the squatlet?
That's got to be... Well, that's what I call them.
Okay. I'm just saying that's a good... We should make sure that that's what people know. We're talking about squatlets. Yes. So go ahead.
Squatlets.
Continue.
Well, I was like, oh my goodness, that must be for international travelers. But then I was soon to find out it wasn't, because, you know, back in the day when we were teaching there, a lot of those schools we went to were in older buildings, and that was all they had. So if you kind of had to learn to use them to some degree. And the first time I wasn't even sure which direction to face.
there was some debate about it. It's like, do you remember what we finally came up with?
For anyone... Well,
always face the toilet paper.
That's basically.
Always.
Yeah, but you know what? That doesn't always work, because the toilet paper's on the side sometimes. So face the cup. Face the cup.
Face the cup. There you go. Yeah, there's a bit of a cup lip on there, and then if you always run out of balance, you can grab onto the pipe. So.
Yeah, that's which I've done many times. So, and give yourself half a step forward further than you would think you would need to be. That's the only other advice I would give. So, anyways,
okay, let's move on to what's that?
I want to ask you how many percentage
there was of the public toilets they're trying to change. There's about 4,000 public toilets in the major tourist spots they have, and the survey says that how many percent of them are Western style and how many are squat type, do you figure? Or squatlets, as you thought.
Public toilets, I bet you like 2/3 are the squatlets.
They said it's actually 50%. These are the tour spots, though. These are major tour spots. 58% okay. Are now Western style, but still 42% are squatlets, which is pretty high. So it's close, still pretty close to half of all major tour spots in Japan. So, yeah. So that's what they're trying to do. Well, that, they're renovating. They're going to spend up they're going to spend up a lot of money, man. It looks like... I don't know if they had the actual price here, but yeah, they're going to several million yen to elevate.
Well, that's really interesting, but
it costs a lot just for one building.
I think they should still leave one in for the people who prefer to use those. Like, you know, they're uncomfortable if you're not used to it, but there's something to be said for not having to sit on the toilet. Like, now that said, it's interesting with Japan that they have such a dichotomy with toilets, because along with having these very primitive style squat toilets,
they also have the most modern toilets.
They got the washlets. Yeah, they're awesome. The best thing ever. And that's one of the things I miss about Japan the most. The washlets are amazing. So it's such a weird it's almost like, well, I don't want to use toilets as like an analogy for Japan.
No, but it is, because Japan is that thing. It's that mixture of the old classic traditional style mixed with the new modern. It's a huge mix, right? And then you got the regular toilets, which would be the 90s boom, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's quite an apt analogy. I think you could use it. If you wanted to, it's like Japan.
If you want
to break down Japan to use it, into basic, just look at the toilets.
And that's what I was trying not to do.
Yes. All right. I did that for you. I got your back. Send Thanks, all brother. Hate mail to senseiandthegeek.com/. So,
but anyway. That's funny stuff. So what else is going on in current events in the Japan side?
Well, foreign workers has hit a record high. There's a amount of people, foreigners in Japan. Yeah.
Really? So what kind of numbers are we talking about here?
1.28 million people now. So as you know, we got Japan's quite an aging society, right?
Yeah.
Getting older. So they're trying to labor shortages, right?
So what percentage of the population is that? Do you see that number?
Did you get that number? As a total of all of Japan, do you mean? By nationality?
Yeah, like, well, at one point... Go on.
I don't actually have the... I have the how much it is as far as... What is it? No, I don't have that number in front of me as what the total number of foreigners are, but I have the breakup of what percent the foreigners make up. Do you know what I mean? So whatever.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. What's the percent?
Well, the number by nationality, Chinese workers make
most.
Okay. So I don't have the total of Japan. So whatever it is, it's 98% Japanese people, right? So it's 2% of all the population, I believe. I don't think that's changed.
Okay.
I think it's still 2% of the entire 350 million? 330 million? Still?
No, it's 130 million.
That's what I meant to say. Sorry, yeah. And so, and that's declining by a million every day, right? So, don't ignore these facts.
Ignore that one. Anyways, go on.
Yeah. Well, the Chinese make up, of course, they're about 372,000, which is 8% up from before, followed by Vietnamese.
And what percent is it overall? Does it say
number one? Accounting
yeah,
for
but
about...
does it say what percent of foreigners?
No, it doesn't say it. Well, what. Dude, you're the math guy, man. What's 372,000 out of 130 million? You should be able to do that in your head, man.
No, I meant like what percent of the foreigners. But anyways, tell me the stats you got and I'll ignore the ones that you don't. How's that sound?
You know, it's like you're asking me for these non-existing stats in front of me. I'm just going to tell you. But anyways.
That's what I'm saying. Tell me the ones you got.
Yeah, right. Where was I? Okay, so anyways, still Chinese, Vietnamese, then Filipinos, followed by Brazilians, up 10% Nepalese, right? So, but residential status, permanent residences, permanent residents and spouses of Japanese increased 11%. So I thought that was interesting.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. So that's a really from the big previous increase. Year. So it's 459,132 people now are permanent residents. So those 32, that's you and me. So without us, then yeah.
It's 159,000. Yeah, because I'm technically still a permanent resident.
Yeah.
So that's almost half a million. So, well, it's almost half a million. So sure. Just under a third of all the foreigners in Japan have permanent residence. That's actually a pretty large number. I wouldn't have thought it would be that many.
I'm quite
surprised to hear that.
Yeah, that's what I found interesting. So that's kind of what I was trying to get to originally was that there was because being permanent resident as we are, that I thought it was, you know, interesting that there's a lot more people getting married and I don't know if they're making the laws easier or if it's just. But it sounds like they definitely are working to increase the amount of foreigners that they bring in here and making it easier for people to come in and get hired. So still, of course.
That's quite interesting. You know, they still definitely have some things that they could do. But overall, I actually felt that it was easier to, like, my transition as a foreigner into Japan was actually easier than here. And that might seem weird, but I talk about like what needs to be done, like on a paperwork level, like a bureaucratic level, all the stuff that needs to be taken care of, like, and I think it's because the Japan is so different with an entirely different language and writing system that they've really taken the time to well document it out for foreigners, the things that need to be done.
So whereas it's like here you need A, B, C, and D, you need all of that. And then here it's like, yeah, you come in, you're like, ah, sorry, you need this too. Or you come back with this or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it, right? And there's not like, I mean, maybe I just didn't look, but I just, like, it seemed that information was quite well presented. I didn't look into it. Nothing. I gotta say though, I really like Sydney. I mean, I never actually really commented on that. I mean, I commented on the weather, but the city is really quite growing on me. It's a pretty city. It's got a lot of parks everywhere, which is really great. I really love parks and with benches. That's one thing that I always missed about Japan. There's not enough benches.
There's
a big frustration there. Don't you think? Like, benches are a commodity. Like, they're few and far between in Japan. It's,
just like benches, like in general, in parks, you mean?
Well, yeah, in parks or even just on the side of roads, like anywhere, in malls, like everywhere. There's not many benches in Japan. It's a bench sparse country. I have a theory behind it, and I don't know. Right. I literally have never researched this whatsoever. It's very likely completely wrong.
That's fine.
It's just good. Like a thought that went through my head. Entire speculation with no basis in anything.
Okay.
There is a basis which I'm going to get to. Like I read, and I don't even know if this is real or not, but okay. I'm just going to go with the assumption it is. That back in the day when they first did the shogunate, the Tokaido shoguns started, they made the Tokaido Highway. Sorry, I got the wrong name for the shogunate, but whatever. The last shogunate there.
Yes,
That was around for 250 years. The Tokugawa, what it was. Tokugawa shogunate.
Yeah.
They created the Tokaido Highway between Nagoya, or maybe Osaka, or maybe it was Kyoto, but anyways, that side of the country through to Edo, which is modern-day Tokyo. And there was checkpoints along it, and people could use the highway, but they weren't allowed to use wheels on the highway. So they couldn't have carts.
Right.
Or anything that had wheels on it. And that might seem weird, but the reasoning behind it, do you know it or can you guess it? I'll give you a shot here to interject.
So no carts, only horses? Horses were allowed, right?
Yeah, horses and people and animals, like anything like four-legged or that not wheels, basically, that could be moved.
So
which back in the day I think was basically a cart. Or a cart, yeah, or a horse. No carts. A horse was okay.
They didn't want any drag racing going on? Is that what it is? Like, no.
Well, they didn't have any. I mean, they definitely effectively worked with that problem. So the reason behind it is that it was a means of control. The people cannot mass against the government if they cannot
be mobile enough
supplies.
To be
mobile, exactly. Yeah, I mean, to get enough supplies together to fight against the government, you know, you have to have everything, and you need wheels for that.
So control over the supply chain. I see.
Yeah, well, over the populace, you know, their ability to gather or to rebel. And so benches. I mean, if the people can gather, the people are going to gather and talk, and they're going to bitch about the government. Mm. And I don't know.
So you're thinking that maybe one of the reasons why there was no benches is that that's a place that people would sit down, and then they would be able to talk to each other, and then ideas would spread, and then it would be, you know, could create a subversive culture.
Disharmony. The anti-wa.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Hence, no benches.
Don't know if it's true, but there's a definite lack of benches in Japan. I do know that's true. So, and so I'm definitely enjoying the benches here. Like, I'll just stop and sit in a park somewhere for a while and just chill. You know, I stayed near a park called Centennial Park for 1 month when I was in an Airbnb, and Centennial Park is this massive park inside the middle of the city. Right near Bondi Junction, and I just watched the sunset. It was really beautiful, like, you know, on my way home from work. That's when it was still winter. And then there's another park, Sydney Park, another beautiful park. It's got this hill in it. And just one day I was riding home and I stopped to chill in the park, and I'm just sitting there on the bench, and there's a guy playing bagpipes behind me, and
I love the pipes,
airplanes flying overhead.
What was he playing?
Pretty cool.
Was he playing Scotland the Brave?
Something Scottish.
No? That's Scotland.
Not that one.
Oh, Eat Your Fingers.
I actually didn't know there were like different. I didn't know there were different songs. I thought they were all just like one.
What do you mean you didn't know there was different songs? You played a guitar. What do you think? There's like one song for a guitar, one song for a bagpipe. Oh my god! I didn't know there were different songs for bagpipes.
I thought it was just really long.
I thought it was just making noise. I thought it was just squeezing a pipe. Jeez.
I know. I love them. Don't get me wrong.
No, I do. Chirp's a piper, man.
Actually. Another shout out to our buddy Ryan on the bagpipes.
Yeah, he'll respect me getting that Itchy Fingers in there. Man, he can play.
Going back to the language.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, go on.
Oh, no.
Back to the language thing. A very Canadianism is that I've discovered that I use is buddy. It's like a generic term for a person. So I saw Buddy on the street and he was doing this, right? Or I was looking over and Buddy was crashed his car into the tree. You know, we use it as like a generic term.
Yeah, it just means
talking with one of my
some guy.
Well, I was talking with one of my Aussie buddies, and I was telling him a story. This guy hit this girl on a bike. Like, she just jumped out. It was actually the bike lane, and she was, like, maybe 10 years old, and she, like, ran out without looking, and he hit her and went over the bars. And so I'm telling them the story about Buddy going over. I ride up, and all of a sudden, Buddy goes over the bars, and my coworker was pretty confused because he was like, so you knew the guy? I'm like, no, I know who Cluey is.
He's like, why is he your buddy? Like,
yeah. so that's what I'm trying to avoid. Another miscommunication.
Yeah.
Well, that's definitely a Canadianism. You know, we like to say buddy a lot. Hey, buddy, what's up, buddy?
I love it. Not even that. Like, buddy is in like, hey man, how's it going? We'll say, hey bud, what's up, bud? How you doing, bud? But the way you're describing it too is like when you're describing someone you don't know, you refer to him as buddy. Like, buddy did this, and then and then buddy walked
a generic
up and he's like, what's
for...
going on? And then I, you know, so I punched buddy in the face.
You know, it's like, Rob,
how
dare you
punch your buddy in the face?
Exactly. it's easy for miscommunication, that one there. But I love that stuff. Honestly, it's real fun communicating with the people on that. Like, it's a good entertainment. So So maybe before we tie things up, I heard you were looking a little bit into the history between Japan and Australia, since me being obviously not someone who researches a place that I'm going to, I don't actually know about.
Yeah, well, before we go, like, I mean, I didn't delve too deep. I mean, I went on Wikipedia to find some interesting things. I'm just looking up the history. Yeah. But I thought I'd give you a little bit of something that you can be like, yeah, I know, all I right. know about Japan-Australia relationships. So let me see where I highlighted okay. any of these. Well, first off, Japan-Australia on a resources and energy relationship. So I don't know if you know, but Australia is really high in mineral resources. It's the world's largest exporter okay. of iron ore. And it's about to become the largest exporter of coal and LNG. LNG. Pretty soon.
Liquid natural gas.
Yes, yes. Mostly methane. So you're definitely a good contributor down there. Australia,
all the beans in my soup.
Right? All that. Give beans a chance. Australia well, so provides...
Just to interject there.
Yeah.
To interject, they actually... It's been on the news since I watched Morning Breakfast. I know what's going on. And you the other thing they're on. Looking to become the world exporter of is medical marijuana.
Really?
So they shuffled some laws around to try and they want to become a major exporter of that to countries that want to import it. So
if a state or a country has it fully legalized, I guess not a state, I guess it'd have to be a full-on country that has it legalized, then they could have it shipped over and would be fine because it would pass through customs. Interesting.
It would. It would, except that...
I never thought about the exporting.
Australia... Of. Well, neither did I, but Australia won't be exporting to recreation for recreation. It has to be medical marijuana. That's their... Because they don't... It's not legal here, the recreational marijuana. Medical marijuana is, although it's actually... It's still, I mean, it's very underdeveloped still. But it's something I guess they're trying to change, or at least they're trying to change for the export to make money. I don't know if they're trying to make their own medical marijuana laws easier or not, but it's definitely not a developed thing here very much, I would say. Anyways, that was to interject there. So go on with your Aussie stats.
Well, yeah, no, this is just saying that Australia provides like 60% of Japan's iron ore imports. They're actually really, really close trading partners, like economically. I mean, they have stuff set up. So I don't know if you remember when American beef got banned in Japan. You were here when that happened. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, Canadian American beef got banned because of mad cow disease.
Yeah.
And so Australian beef, dairy, and all these products are just, wine, cheese are just huge. We get lower prices on Australian food imports because we actually have a free trade agreement. It's called I think it's called JEPA.
Okay.
Yeah. JEPA. The Japan Australian Economic Partnership good. Agreement.
A JEPA.
JEPA. Now I'm just trying to
I
say
got it.
Like
JEPA. Yeah.
So we actually have a lot of really good ties there. And not only that, but also with just people-to-people links. I mean, there's over 650 sister schools that exist between Australia and Japan. And it's Australia's the most popular destination for Japanese school study tours. My daughter is going there in 2 weeks. 3 weeks.
Oh, well, there you go.
Because they do a school exchange.
I didn't know that.
So she's going there. I mean, it's their school trip. Her whole grade is going. So... that should be really good, and a major factor is they're studying each other's language. The major commitments they have to that, and currently Japanese is still the most widely studied foreign language in Australian schools and universities, with about 360,000 students across primary and tertiary levels are studying Japanese. Australia figures about fourth in the world in terms of number of Japanese language learners. The more you know. Huh.
The more you know. It's I mean, they do have a large interest in Japan here. There's a million Japanese restaurants. They're everywhere. Oh, yeah. I mean, but I don't see so many Japanese people. You know, they're definitely around, but I don't see so many.
You gotta hit the actual tour spots, maybe? I don't know.
Well, I kind of do a little bit. I mean, I go, you know, I go like to the
parks
tourist
and
spots.
Beaches.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I've talked to a couple people. Like the other day, I was stopped at a stoplight and just waiting on my bike, and the girl beside me said something to her friend, and I was like, "Oh, hey!" And I just started chatting with them, because that's the thing about speaking Japanese as a non-Japanese person. Like, anytime I meet a Japanese person, it's really easy to break into conversation because they're always just like, "What the heck?" Mm. So it's
Have you got to speak?
Like, I got my.
Go ahead.
Well, I got my haircut, you know, last weekend, and I walk into the place, yeah. And the guy, like, that's seating me down, he's gesturing at the chair, and he's Asian, but just his gestures, you know, I immediately can tell he's Japanese. And so I sit down, and he's like, "I'll be back in a second." He comes back, mm-hmm. And I just called him out on it in Japanese. I was like, "You're Japanese, right?" He was like, "How do you know?" Right? But in Japanese, but he was like, he was really confused. Right?
So what did, like, you say? You're like, "Nihonjin da yo ne?" Right? And he's like,
he was a little surprised, but then we were chatting in Japanese while he was cutting my hair, which of course was kind of wigging out the other people in the place, right? So it's a good party trick. Speaking Japanese is a nice little party trick, definitely, like, you know, to be able to bust it out when the time comes. It's fun.
Well, now you know that there's quite a lot of people that are studying it, so I mean, you know, that's good.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I've met a lot of people, and they've told me, like, "Yeah, I studied it in school. I've known a little bit." And so many people have gone there. Like, a lot of Aussies visit Japan. And not just the Aussies, the people who live here. Like, you know, because I met a lot of people from everywhere. Brazilians, Korean people, Chinese people. I mean, it's such an international city. It is crazy. Like, it is Sydney itself is extremely international. There's pretty much every mm-hmm. kind of food, and there's every kind of people. I caught an Uber. It's called Taxify. It's a competitor that's coming in right now. But I caught a Taxify the other day, and the guy was from Poland, and he's been here 25 years himself. And, you know, I meet like a lot of people who are citizens. And so that's a difference from living in Japan. Like, I don't think I only ever met like 2 foreigners ever in Japan who had taken citizenship, and they were Chinese. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I didn't meet any white people who did, because, I shouldn't say white people. That's the wrong thing. Debito, of course, he was the famous one. But we have to give up our home citizenship, or you're supposed to. I think there's loopholes around it. But we're supposed to give up our home citizenship.
Which is what Emily would have to do. Like, yeah. Your kids have dual citizenship until they're 20, and then they're supposed to give up, if you want to remain Japanese or keep your Japanese citizenship, you're supposed to renounce your Canadian citizenship. And so that's why most of us are not citizens. People are like, "Oh, are you Japanese?" It's like, well, every time someone asks, "Are you Japanese?" It's like, you can never be Japanese without then becoming non-Canadian or non-anything.
Yeah.
So it's like, no.
Well, and I've been asked that a lot, not by people in Japan. I think the Japanese just know that it doesn't happen, or expect their expectations that it doesn't happen, right?
Well, but I've been asked, like, in Canada. Japanese, like, "Oh, you are Japanese." Well, maybe that's just a turn of phrase then, but...
Yeah, I think that's just a turn of phrase. Because people in Canada or, like, in other places will ask about citizenship, but, yeah, I always just said, no, I didn't want to give up my Canadian citizenship. I'm proud Canadian. I'd love to have dual citizenship, but Japan doesn't allow for that. Which is too bad, because I really wish I could have gotten Japanese citizenship. But so coming here, though, it's not such a difficult... Well, I mean, it's difficult to get into Australia in the first place, but once you're in here, it's after 2 years or so. There's different paths to permanent residency, but a couple of years you can get permanent residency, and then after that you can get, I think it's 4 years after that, citizenship. So you're looking at, you know, 6-7 years to be able to get citizenship here, or maybe 8, I'm not really too sure. Like, I've met a lot of people.
It's a road, it's a path, it's doable.
Yeah. And they allow dual citizenship. Yeah. So, like, for you know, for you and I being Canadian, like, I'll be able to get dual citizenship with Canada, and then I can be a proud member of both countries. So, it's super multicultural, and just the variety of food, like, and not just restaurants. Like, you can go pretty much, like, any food you want, any ingredient you want, you can find most of them somewhere in the city. Like, there's somewhere to get it.
Can I ask you the question that all the Japanese people are thinking? All the people Is the Japanese food there, is it up to snuff? The Japanese food, because I know back in Canada, Emily was there and she was like, my daughter, she's like, oh my god, the sushi, and you go to the restaurants and it was, yeah, she wasn't impressed at all.
Inland a little bit too, so that might be why. Here, I've been for Japanese food not a ton of times, only like maybe 5 times. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly been decent, like pretty good. Now, when I say decent, like basically what you get at most restaurants in Japan, like, you know, solid food, like, you know, it's tasty. It tastes pretty authentic. I've had a couple things that weren't up to snuff. Like, I had some salmon sushi that was kind of like, the rice. Well, not just the salmon sushi. The rice was just cooked not right.
Right.
Right. It was proper Japanese rice. Well, you know, and sushi, like, I don't know if you know this, or I can't remember if I ever said it on the cast or not before, but the sushi is actually the rice. It's not the fish.
No, it's the rice.
That's what sushi is. You can have no fish or topping at all, even. Just the rice is sushi. Yeah. And so if the rice isn't done right, then neither is your sushi. So,
yes.
Times I had it, and then also like some store-bought sushi, and that definitely wasn't up to snuff, like as compared to store-bought sushi in Japan. That definitely wasn't up to snuff. The restaurant's doing okay, but what's missing is, you know, in Japan you can get some real high class restaurants too, like real classy joints that are really nice. Mm-hmm. And you know, not just your generic Japanese place selling ome raisu and, you know, donburi and stuff like that, like, which, don't get me wrong, it's all stuff I like, but I'm talking like a classy, like, Japanese restaurant. I haven't seen, I'm sure they do exist. I probably couldn't afford it, though.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's so, like, if it's going to be that good, it's probably going to be someone, like, some hotel restaurant that's paying the money to get a top chef in there and quality ingredients and making sure that everything's up there. But you're probably not going to find it
exactly
on the streets near next to the Starbucks anywhere, right?
Yeah, no. Well, that's the other thing, though, just to interject there. There's no Starbucks here. I mean, there are, but I've only seen, like, 2 or 3 in, like, everywhere I've been. Like,
That's right. You were saying that, like, a couple months ago. You're like, there's a different coffee shop that kind of runs the cock of the walk over there. What is that, the name of the place?
Well, no, it's not a different coffee shop. I actually can't think of any particular chain that I've seen. It's all just coffee shops. But just the quality of coffee in this country is
that's
excellent.
What it was. You're saying that so everybody, good. There's so many specialty coffee shops, like, and barista, what is it called? They're called...
Baristas. Yeah, with baristas and like
baristas.
Yeah,
and
they
like
have
that.
Like really.
Yeah.
The coffee is so good. Yeah. Like, and even in our office, we have like a $1,500 coffee machine with like a really nice grinder. Like, you just put the thing on there, push the button, and it like grinds it so fine, so fast. I'm getting to the point where if everything goes south and really bad, I think I'm a qualified barista.
I know. It's funny because I told you I'm not a coffee guy either. I'm not a soup guy. I'm not a coffee guy. I literally drip coffee. I'm having one right now, and it's fine. I'm out of a bag. It's like $3. You get 12 of them. That's all I drink. I'm not a coffee guy. I've been to Starbucks 3-4 times in my entire life.
So. Yeah, well, Starbucks, I mean, I go to Starbucks for the atmosphere, not for the coffee. The coffee's pretty crap, to be honest. And I thought that even before I came here. Slang, now that I'm here, honestly, I don't know if I could go back to Starbucks. Like, the coffee here is so good, man. It's like, it's amazing. And it's so good. So I that's one of the better things. And that, if I ever leave, that'll be a hard thing to get away, like, leave. You know, I'll definitely miss the coffee here.
You should make sure whatever you
and their coffee to snobs.
Your next, if you ever get another job and leave, you make sure that you take that coffee machine as part of your severance package.
Packing up my desk, I'll just drop this in the box.
Awesome.
Well, but going back to what I was actually talking about, though, with the Japanese restaurants. Yeah, like, I mean, I know a couple restaurants in Tokyo that are like, I mean, they're super nice. They're like $300 to $500 for two-person dinner when you go without alcohol. I don't think you'd ever find anything like that here. Now, I'm sure there are, though, equivalent, like, you know, other restaurants here, just not Japanese. So I mean, it's the Japanese food here is better than I expected. I will have to say, like, it's of a standard, like, well tasting quality of Japanese food in Japan. I just haven't seen any, like, the real, like, nice places yet, like, that are doing something more than like what you like. I guess I'd say that the restaurants here that I've been to are kind of like just your standard chain restaurant in Japan. Like, they order a bunch of the standard dishes. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like a stereotype of it.
Tonkatsu is going to be the next big thing. Tonkatsu.
What? They got that. And like, yeah, it's like that's what they'll have. They'll have like tonkatsu don or whatever, or just tonkatsu or whatever. Like,
yeah.
And so it, you know, it's okay. To be honest, I miss my wife's cooking more than anything, like than Japanese right. food in particular. I mean, I love Japanese food, but I'm eating really well. Like, I'm even so nice, but I really miss my wife's cooking. I haven't eaten it in half a year now. So, you know, when I get here next month, I'm pretty excited. Missing the family, man. That's totally, been the hardest man. Part of this all. Yeah.
Well, we'll get another episode, and we'll do that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the things that you miss.
Yeah, well, and we could talk about some other stuff too. You know, we talked about Japan and Australia stuff this time. Maybe we could talk about Canada and Australia stuff because, you know, I have a lot of similarities I can compare and differences as well, and just interesting thoughts, you know, that we could discuss at a future point in time.
And if anyone else has anything that you want us to discuss, go ahead and let us know for sure.
Yeah, we'd be happy to hear it. We're always ready to hear your feedback. You could find us on everywhere that does podcasts. Somehow you already found us right here, so find us there too. Nice. Take it easy, guys. Signing out from Sensei and the Geek. This is Jay Friendly.
Rob Beck. Sayonara.
Chowder.